Hey, everybody. We are here on the Bulwarks YouTube page. Subscribe if you haven't already. What the fuck are you doing if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube page yet? I am here with two guys who are taking Washington, D.C. by storm. They are the TMZ D.C. duo. On, I guess, the left, as you're looking at the screen, is Charlie Cotton and his counterpart, Jacob Wasserman. They're co-managing editors. You guys have been running all around town asking Lindsey Graham about his bubble wand. How's it going?
Oh, going great. Bubble wand's going great too. Congress is on recess right now, actually, for July 4th. So God knows where Lindsey is. Maybe bubble wanding it up somewhere. I would be if I was him.
I like how that's a verb, bubble wanding it.
In the gay community, that's going to have some subtext that we don't want to get into.
All right, let's not go there. All right.
We've got some breaking news I want you guys, your take on before we kind of introduce what you've been up to at TMZ DC. David Hearn, who's a former Olympic canoeist, has been arrested for allegedly reaching into the Lincoln Memorial reflecting pool and ripping off some of the beautiful American flag blue coating. He's been indicted by a grand jury as of today, Thursday, on a felony charge. Jeanine Pirro, Judge Box of Wine, did a whole press conference about this serious crime and talked about how they're going to go for 10 years for this. You remember they failed on their attempts to go after Sandwich Man in DC, and this is her latest effort. You guys have been covering the reflecting pool stuff. I know, Jacob, you were down at Park Police HQ trying to get info. Why don't you give us a little reaction to this news and what you know about the situation?
I'm just curious if this is the tip of the iceberg. I mean, when we were at the reflecting pool just a couple weeks ago, we saw numerous people. Well, I guess we saw one guy get arrested. We saw another woman get detained and then eventually released. And I don't know if they're just going to be making an example out of Hearn or if he's just the first one to drop and maybe everyone's going to be gone after by the Park Police.
But when you were at Park Police HQ, What'd you find out there?
Well, not much of anything. That was the issue. We were spinning our wheels at the reflecting pool, and then later that night, I see that Trump was in the Oval Office taking questions, and then he says, "Oh well, you know, if you go to the Parks Department, they'll tell you about the box cutter who cut like a 300. What did he say? 300 yards or three?" And so I'm like, okay, I'll go because I'm curious about what's going on. And it was like, I know, personal issue, but it was awful weather that day. It was like raining, and this department is like middle of nowhere. I took a cab, go there. I'm like knocking on the door. No one's answering. And I'm like, isn't this a police department? Can't you just like walk in? No, you can't. So eventually just a woman came out, handed me a post-it note. I was like, this is the email for the public. I'm like, I know what the email is. So I was just so fed up that I just made like a selfie video. And I was like, well, guess what? Like, no one's telling you anything. So I wish I was more of a resourceful guy on this, but so far I'm not.
It feels like to me, like in a free country, people should be able to go and touch the reflecting pool, you know, without any fear that the government is going to try to detain them. And I do think that, you know, enterprising reporters like yourself should be able to go to the Park Police prison and, you know, have free reign, not be rebuffed. It shouldn't be like an El Salvador gulag situation in the Park Police prison. But right. It does feel like we're kind of going a bad trajectory here. I don't, you guys, like, you started this all, what, a couple months ago now, 4 months ago now?
2 months. Yeah. Really?
2 months. Yeah. So do you feel like kind of you're at the beginning of a arc towards dystopia when you see news like this, or was this about what you were expecting?
Yeah, I mean, the reflecting pool is a hot button issue. You know what I mean? And look, the claim is that Hearn, Pirro said he went in the water, he grabbed it and would like, you know what I mean, was pulling it off. I mean, I haven't seen any evidence of that, but that's what the claim is. If he really was like tore off like yards of this thing, I mean, not good, not good. We can agree to that. Is he like this horrible vandal going to prison for 10 years? He seemed like a nice guy when he was wearing his bike helmet. You know, he seemed like he wasn't there for trouble, but maybe he is this horrible scofflaw. We just don't realize. I don't know. It seems a bit heavy-handed to me.
What would be the punishment, do you think, in Australia, like in Oz, for this? Is it sort of more of a law and order country?
Yeah, we are criminals. We're descended from criminals, so maybe you get a pat on the back in Australia. I don't know. No, probably not. You send them to another country.
Yeah. Just kind of imagining kind of the dingo going after. Do you have a famous pool in Perth?
Is there a famous pool in Perth? Yeah. I'm not from Perth.
Or Melbourne?
Melbourne. Thank you. Actually, Tim, I hate to hit you with a gotcha question. I'm from the capital of Australia, which is?
Canberra.
No way, Tim. That's actually impressive.
He asked that to a lot of people and they never get it.
They never get it.
That's pretty good.
All right. You know, I mean, I did do well in the geography being sixth grade. You know, we don't need to focus on that. I can go over who beat me. It was kind of a traumatic moment, but I was pretty successful with geography B. My mother was kind of like a Lebanese tiger mom, though, and she was disappointed with my second place finish. Why don't we guys talk about the ethos of what you guys are doing? So, you know, you go over there 2 months, you run around Capitol Hill. Like, what are you trying to do? What's different about what you're doing than the other reporters over there? Like, give us just a little sense of, you know, what how a celebrity gossip outlet thinks about covering Washington.
Yeah, well, TMZ is a personality. And I think at times Charlie and I can be really funny or try to be funny with people. And we can ask questions that are light and have to do with pop culture. And then other times we can be really serious and try to dig in to big issues. And you know, I think the people who report on the Hill do a great job. Something I've noticed, just generally speaking, is when maybe they'll ask a question, someone will shut it down. They'll try to do like a follow up and then it kind of ends there. We're trying to break through that a little bit. And I think Charlie is fantastic at that, as seen in his interviews with Ted Cruz and Dan Muser, where we're really trying to dig into an answer. And like everyone, we try to cultivate relationships on both sides of the spectrum. And I think by doing that, people have begun to trust us and we can really get into these interesting kind of informal dialogues that I think resonate with people.
Our audience, you know, is very different than the audience of a lot of reporters who cover Capitol Hill. Our audience maybe isn't as politically engaged. So I still think they're politically engaged, but not as politically engaged as like CNN, Fox News, The Bulwark. You know what I mean? So how do we get this interview with someone that someone sitting at home scrolling on TMZ or watching us, our program, how do we make them care about this, you know, congressman from Alabama? They live somewhere else in America. Why would they care what this guy or girl has to say? Well, that's the battle for us. And that's what we're trying to do. Ask, you know, common man, common woman type questions that regardless of who this person is in front of us, we know they're important, right? We know that they have got a lot of power. What can we ask that would translate to that person sitting at home somewhere in America?
Have you guys figured out how to recognize people?
With difficulties?
Not easy.
Flashcards?
Well, thank you to our office because we printed out a hell of a lot of A4 color printing, by the way, sheets of paper so that we could like try to like, okay, that's him. That's her. That's AOC. Okay, recommit that to memory. And so I feel like, so there's 550 odd of them. I'd say I probably got my mind around 150. I don't know. We've been here 2 months. It's not easy. But that is a struggle.
You might want one little piece of homework I got for you is there's this great book about the 1996 campaign by Michael Lewis called Losers. It was like Michael Lewis is like best book, but it was maybe his best book. It's the most underrated book. He's much more well renowned for, you know, Moneyball, et cetera. But it was interesting because he goes to cover this 96 campaign as somebody who's not a political reporter. And it's like so much better than all the other campaign books because he's just observing things that are like interesting or weird that like all of the political reporters just kind of go along with, and they're like, this is just kind of how it is. Like, this is how we do business here. And I'm wondering if that has, you know, kind of caught your eye at all, where you're just like, if people kind of saw behind the camera about what was happening, like it looks very formal or whatever, right in front of your face, but like everything around it is preposterous.
So true, man. Well, what kicked us off, what sent us over here to DC was our campaign started by our big boss, Harvey Levin, saying, if you see them out on vacation, these Congress people, while TSA, you know, isn't getting paid, send us the pics. Send us the pictures of the congressmen enjoying their lives while some people aren't getting paid. And so that's a very, like, everyone in DC gets that these Congress people are off all the time. And it's just like, they don't even think about it. Like, it is what it is. But for us from LA, you know, we were like, what? They get more time off than school children? Are you serious? And there's been so many of those instances where we're like, wait, this is normal here? And everyone's like, yeah, I mean, yeah, it is. And so I think that's been a bit of the charm of us being here, is discovering this city and how it operates with fresh eyes.
One example of that, of course, was Lindsey Graham at Disney World. He was pictured carrying a bubble wand. It caught the attention of the nation. We did several videos about it here on the Bulwark YouTube page. You guys had the opportunity to ask Lindsey about it a couple of times, and so we'll just play a couple of the clips.
I'm from TMZ. Could I just ask you about the bubble wand, sir? Can I just ask you quickly about the bubble wand?
Could I ask just where is that bubble wand now, at this point in time? Where is it?
You know, I don't know.
You don't know?
I didn't buy it for me.
Who'd you buy it for?
For a friend's girl.
That's very nice of you, man.
Well, one thing I've learned, I think we need competition for bubble guns because it was pretty high.
Yeah. I like the deadpan.
I mean, I will say this about Lindsey Graham. You know, he gets a lot of flack. That and, you know, and maybe deservedly so, depending on where you stand. But he doesn't shy away from an interview. And, you know, him and I have no sort of bad blood over the bubble one sort of line of questioning. I give him credit that he welcomes the you know, the interest and, like, but yeah, the bubble one thing was just a life of its own because it's such an absurd, absurd thing.
Well, Charlie, when we got here, Charlie, like, first clip has to be the bubble one.
I wanted.
He dedicated himself to getting it. But again, even though it seems like we're hassling him about that, 2 months later, I think we actually have a decent rapport with him now, and he's very open to speaking with us.
Okay. Well, don't show him this clip because we do have some bad blood, me and Lindsey.
Okay.
It goes way back. You know, he was a big Jeb supporter. I was Jeb's communications director. He loves a Chardonnay. You know, sometimes at the end of the campaign, he'd drink a lot of Chardonnay while I would have to sit there and babysit him. And so I've now, you know, moved into anti-Trump media, and he encountered me at a spin room about a year or two ago and started screaming at me about how I should be ashamed of myself. So,
wow.
You know, it's okay. You know, whatever. Sometimes these relationships aren't meant to last.
You want me to ask him about it, Tim? I can get him on the Hill like next week. I can ask him about it.
I think it's okay. I mean, given the Iran war and other things that he's complicit, I think there are probably better questions for you. But we'll talk. if I do have little fun questions related to my past for you, I'll think about
it. We could be your line.
Yeah. I'm trying to think about the way to transition from Lindsey Graham to Congressman Abe Hamadeh without being two on the nose. You know, I mean, Abe has done some interesting interior decorating of his office, very large walk-in closet in the office. And there's an interesting story about him last week, not from you guys, about, you know, how he's a live-in staffer, gentleman. And I don't know. I'm asking because I've been waiting for the TMZ Abe Hamadeh take. Is it because he's in the 300 you don't recognize? You haven't shaken him down yet? Or
I see Abe all the time. And I'm like, what up, Abe? You know, like.
So do you have any thoughts on what's happening there? The office, it's pretty strange what's happening in the office. I would think the decorating, the looks maxing, the live in staffer.
Well, it looks
TMZ ish.
Who's looks maxing in the office?
The interns.
The interns are looks. What does that even mean? Like,
you haven't seen the photos?
But, like, are they competing against each other? What do you mean by, like, looks maxing?
I think that they might be doing some bone smashing.
That's news to me.
You guys tell me. That's what I'm. Isn't this what you're here for? That's why. If you and Abe chat, I mean, it feels like TMZ viewers might be interested in the bone smashing, Downton Abbey decorated, you know, Republican Congressman.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're interested in like his living situation. Like we're not here to play bedroom police. You know what I mean? Like maybe
opposite. We love, you know, the weirder in the bedroom, it gets the better. That's my policy. Whatever you're down with. But it is not policing. It's curious. It's interesting. It'd be one thing if it was like in secret. But the office. I mean, he posted a picture of a man in like very small pants with his bulge showing the other day.
Well, I don't know enough about his situation, honestly, but what I can say is that like there are plenty of people who live in their office. And frankly, it's like a lot of people don't make enough money to the point where they can have a place in their district and live in DC. Frankly, I'm surprised not even more people live in their offices. They're pretty big. And I know, yeah, so.
You could shoot like a whole season of Cribs just going office to office like throughout the cap for real.
Are there any other ones that have caught your eye? I mean, the Abe's, we'll put it on the screen, like the decoration of his office is just, you know, I'm a more is more person. You know, if we were downstairs in my house, I've got a very decorated home. But his is, you know, most of the congressional offices are usually a little bit more strip bare. They'll have some things from their district. You know, if you're from Colorado, you might have a buffalo head or something. Or, you know, what have you seen anything that caught your eye?
It's hard to say like which people in particular, but people I think in general are trying to be flashy. That they're trying to make their offices fun. I think like I went in, who was it? The senator from New Jersey, Andy Kim.
Andy Kim.
Yeah, I think he has like a ski ball in his office. There are a lot of people who have like different little things to make it fun. It's their intro to a lot of people. You know, people from their district come. Let him come off as cool.
Let him show his personality, though. If that's what Abe's into, you know, this is 2026. You know, this is let him gold plate whatever he wants if that's what he's into. You know, I enjoy seeing him out and about. Like he's friendly with us. I've talked to him about like you know the photo shoot. That you know they all did. He's pretty authentically him, like him or not. You know what I mean? Like I don't think that he's not doing that office stuff for you.
Like,
I mean, an authenticity. He certainly is unique. But the authenticity, I don't know. Anyway, this is great. I love that you guys have this relationship. You should show him this video. Maybe it'll encourage him to kind of give you more of a behind-the-scenes tour. I'd like to learn more. That's all. I would like to learn more about what's happening in his office. I want to commiserate with you guys about something. I'm hoping maybe you can help me improve on this. But
we can do that.
We both have run into a wall asking politicians about a similar topic. I want to play you guys talking to Wes Moore.
How many governors you actually have to ask that?
I've seen the videos.
You have to ask that question.
You're the second governor I've spoken to, so I haven't been able to ask that many. But yeah. I've just seen the videos. Like you kind of flex it. Yeah. So what? Like what's the bench? What's the squat?
Well, I mean, you know, it's funny. I don't even know what my max is, but like I got the baddest first lady in the country, so I gotta keep it fresh and sexy.
Okay. Wow.
I love that. Keep it sexy for Mrs. Moore.
Yeah.
She's cool. I met her at a baggage claim one time. Very nice woman. He wouldn't tell you though. And I had John Ossoff on about a month ago and asked him what his workout routine was. He wouldn't tell me. Then I had Raphael Warnock on. He wouldn't tell me. Mm-hmm. What is happening? Is it because they're on peptides? Do you think they're embarrassed? Or like, why can't we just get some workout routines out of these politicians?
You could be on to something. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why it's such a secret. Maybe they don't want to be shamed for how much they can or can't lift. But I think that the fact that you're lifting at all is a positive. Yeah. I mean, we walk around, everyone's like a dinosaur on Capitol Hill. The fact that you're lifting and doing all these workouts, it's like I would be leading with that. If I were a campaign manager, I would be telling people, like, lead with the workout. Like, that's the first thing that'll hit them, and the rest will follow.
Who cares if they're going to make fun of you, you know? I'm just using the little 15-pound dumbbells when I go to my ladies' weights class. That's fine. I'm not ashamed.
That makes two of us.
Yeah. You also do a ladies' kind of Pilates hit lift class?
I hit and a 15-pound dumbbell.
It's not an exercise.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, look at it. We could do it. We could work out together. Love next time I'm in town, I'll call you up, see what hit class you're going to.
Okay.
What else do you guys want me to know? Is there anything else about DC that has surprised you, has caught you off guard?
It surprised me, like, how much this city has embraced us. It really has surprised me because, you know, I've been doing this sort of thing, interviewing celebrities at LAX for 13 years, right? And, you know, some people perceive of what I do as being like one of those paparazzi, like, leave them alone. But what I do is I'm a reporter. I'm a field producer, and I'll go up to the subject and I'll be friendly. And if you want to chat, great. If you don't want to chat, also great. So I've been doing the same thing, but you feel a little bit maybe of a stigma walking around LAX with people. But here, the other members of the media, the public for sure, the politicians on both sides, I'm sure there are people out there who don't love what we do, but I haven't met them. You know what I mean? I've been surprised by the overwhelmingly positive response. It's been like so satisfying, and like it means a lot.
Definitely.
It's refreshing. I mean, DC is pretty bleak these days, you know, so getting some fresh blood in there, I think, is good. It would be different if you, I think, were starting to get up in their face and get personal with them. So I do think that potentially, you know, you might not be as welcome in the future if the tactics get a little more aggressive.
Well, and it depends what the situation is. We've done that before. Like we're not, that's not to us off limits depending on the situation. And like I said from the jump, it's like we're a spectrum. We can be, we're personality. And it can be fun. It can be serious.
We've held them accountable in, you know, a variety of different clips. We don't want to do that every single time. It's like, you know, we want to like have fun. We want to like get to the truth of an issue if there's some burning topic and it's like, come on, like what is going on here? But I feel like, yeah, we need to be that personality so that people can trust and have faith in us.
And before I feel like we can even get into so many issues, people are just trying to figure out who these people are. Like, I have a lot of friends who are college educated, who have like zero clue who their senator is or who their congressman is, and probably don't even know what the Strait of Hormuz was before the Iran war.
So who did?
Like, we gotta like, maybe Tim. The point is that I just think it's like, we gotta take a step back. We gotta like understand who we're dealing with and who these people are before we maybe even get into some of the issues.
Charlie, I got a couple of LAX questions I got to ask you, just, you know, burning questions. Some of these times these celebs tell you they're when they're landing, right? Like they wanted to be on and they're just like, hey, man, just so you know, I'm on the 452 coming from Philly.
Yeah, that happens. Right? That happens sometimes.
That's what's happening with Karamo and Jussie Smollett, right? Like there's no way Karamo and Jussie Smollett are supposedly dating now. They got caught in the park and then they got caught kissing again the next day. Somebody tipped them off, right? It's not that. How else would they catch Karamo and Jussie Smollett start kissing?
I'm so deep in like DC now that even like the TMZ stories, I can't even keep up.
This is news. You're breaking me news now about this.
You did not know that Karamo and Jussie Smollett are. Well, this is big. See, you guys aren't on gay Twitter. This is big news on gay Twitter.
I mean, I dabble in gay Twitter.
Exactly. I wouldn't rule us out.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, you're only dabbling because if you had any depth in gay Twitter, you'd be very familiar with what's happening there. What about the payoffs on the back end? Were you getting paid off at LAX? Like, please go away. I'll pay you $1,000 to kill it.
Someone pay me to go away? No, yeah. I'm a friendly guy. No, people. We don't do that. People think TMZ does stuff like that. We don't. I just stand at LAX and see who I see most of the time.
Yeah. Okay. Same rule applies here. It's like if someone doesn't want to talk, unless there's a pressing issue, it's like, okay, there's 500 people here. Like we will go to the next person.
What part of town are you living in? Are you guys roommates?
No. I'm moving up in the world, Tim. I've been living in my aunt's basement in Bethesda for a while because I'm paying for an apartment in New York. We took this job last minute and it cost like an arm and a leg to have an apartment in Brooklyn. So moved here. I was like, I'm going to save a little bit of money, but now I'm coming to you for my brand new apartment right now.
Day one, baby. Yes.
Wow. Bravo. Tell me it's a Navy Yard so you can spy on the MAGA staffers.
No, it's not Navy Yard. It's an undisclosed location.
All of the MAGA youth are in Navy Yard.
I've heard.
But it's a lot of fun, Navy Yard. It's late at night, I hear it can get troublesome. But like it's a nice place to hang out, have a bevy by the water.
Troublesome, like a drunk frat guy starts saying the N-word, or like what kind of it's not, yeah. It's not just like scary troublesome. You just mean like you know, kind of rowdy.
It gets rowdy, I'm told. But yeah,
we don't go out enough.
We don't
like I'm not gonna act like we you know, we're tired. We're on the hill all day.
You're not sitting outside Bullfeathers?
No, but I will now. What is that? What sort of bar is that?
Okay, so Bullfeathers is on the hill. It's owned by a really, really annoying MAGA media guy turned bar owner. And his name is Raheem.
You're talking about Butterworths, my friend.
Butterworths, fuck. Yeah, you know Butterworths. Thank you. God, see, you live there now. What? Which one is Bullfeathers?
I don't know.
There is a Bullfeathers, though. Too. TMZ guys, what else? Anything else? Do you have any attacks on me or any critiques, feedback, notes, scoops?
The last thing I'll say, going off your question, what have you learned about DC? Is DC and just politics as a whole is way too online for its own good. And I think it comes because the criticism of DC has always been it's too insular. And I think people here are like, you're right, it is. How do we become not that? We're going to become really in touch with what people are saying on Twitter and on Instagram. And now everyone has moved too much that way, that they're like insular in a different way, where they think all that matters is what's happening online.
That's true. But, you know, that's like how I built my brand, Jacob. You have to have a good, strong X account in order to build your brand.
Okay, we're trying to keep working
on that. Good luck, guys. Thank you for coming on. We'll keep monitoring your material. And if I have any good tips for you, now we're in touch.
Bullfeathers, right? Huh? Bullfeathers is
Bull
the
Feathers. That's another Capitol Hill restaurant that I guess nobody goes to anymore because I moved to New Orleans. How am I supposed to know what the hot restaurants are?
Tulane alum.
Tulane, my man, I'm right.
Roll wave.
Yeah, roll wave. We'll see you guys soon, all right?
Cheers, team.
Subscribe to the feed, everybody. Cheers.